We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All heck has broken loose here. All heck has broken loose in the studio. Chris Hoke has come in fired up. Ron, we already knew, was fired up. I have overdosed on caffeine. Even Folsey's in this kind of mood. Hokey, have you ever played with anybody at any level who wore a one-bar helmet other than a kicker? That doesn't fly, does it?
Oh,
when you
man.
Were a kid, did anybody on the field have a one-bar helmet?
I don't know how you could do that. I mean, maybe a punter. I can't think of a time when I knew a guy with one bar. But I'll tell you what, if I wore one bar, man, I would come home with a black eye every day.
I know.
I mean, it's like even with
broken
the
nose.
Broken nose, yeah. I mean,
Theismann, Joe Theismann wore a one-bar helmet.
I wonder how many times he got punched in the face. I
mean, probably
to be honest,
a few.
I mean, I think as a lineman, if I had a one-bar face mask, I think that I would just be trashed every day because your hands come up there. Even though they call hands in the face now. Back when I was playing, hands in the face was just an art.
Ron, you didn't have a one-bar helmet when you were a receiver. No, I'm serious.
That's why I was able to see that.
That's
why
I was able. Okay. Do you remember your helmet?
I do.
Was it like just a quarterback? Yeah. The one.
What are you trying
bars?
To insinuate here? That he wore a leather helmet?
No,
or what? What are you trying to say?
Exactly what he's doing. That is exactly what he's doing.
Theismann came after you with a one-bar helmet, Ron. It's not an insult. It was a curiosity. You didn't know Ron was a good receiver at Beaver
I did.
Falls.
We talked about it last week. He had that big touchdown catch, right?
Yes, Wilkinsburg. Yeah, Wilkinsburg. 67 yards.
Yeah.
From
How
Joel
did it
Goldman.
Go, Ron? Short? Walk like a slant route play. That you took to the house or a bomb?
Just a straight fly.
Go route.
Just a go route.
Yeah.
You ran underneath it.
Ran right by the guy.
I don't know what the Steelers need right now. We need a little nice go route. Let the ball go up in the air.
Somebody
and
needs
run
to throw it down the field.
Did you score a touchdown? I should know this already in your career.
No, I haven't.
College? High school?
I've always been a lineman.
Not one time was there a ball in the end zone that you jumped on?
No. I wish I could have. I wish I could say I could. I mean,
close
I think,
in
think
the
about
NFL?
Making a story up and saying yeah, but there's no nothing. I can't even think of a story to make up. I've never even been that close.
You strike me as you could have played fullback as well in high school. You
no,
were always
I was
a defensive
straight guard.
Guy.
I didn't start playing football until I was a freshman in high school, and I played guard. Then I went to D tackle, and I played D tackle and guard my whole career in high school. And then when I went to college, I was just a three technique.
That's instructive. There's a girl, one of my daughter's teammates on softball, who should be playing volleyball. And everybody thinks it's always too late.
Yeah.
They're 13, 14 years old. You said you didn't play football till
what,
15?
Here's the problem nowadays. Everything's you have to specialize
in
one sport.
You have to specialize. I hate that.
And then the problem is that you limit yourself. And there's a lot of kids that can be good at other sports, but they get stuck on football. They get stuck on baseball, basketball.
And it's never too late.
It's never too late. It's never too late. If you're an athlete, you're an athlete.
That's right.
And that's it. You go out, then you play.
If you're that age, you should be able to play whatever you want.
I agree
with that.
And I
know basketball coaches have told, you know, if you're going to play football, I don't want you on my basketball team.
It's become year-round for everything.
It's not so much at the smaller schools. Like you talk about in the WIPO, you know, I got kids that play high school football and play high school sports. And if you're at a bigger school, there's a lot of kids. They want you to focus on one sport. It's like they encourage that.
Yes,
and they also discourage doing multiple sports.
Right.
You go to a smaller school. When I was younger, my kids, when we were younger, were at Avonworth School District. Great school district. And they played multiple sports, and they encourage it because they don't have a huge student body, so they got to get kids
right.
that are crossover.
When we were kids, you played football, then you didn't see
all.
A football.
No, I played volleyball.
Yes,
maybe I played
basketball.
Volleyball.
Baseball.
Yeah.
You just went into the next
when
season.
I played football, when I played basketball in high school, I thought it was Kurt Rambis. I was a big Laker fan.
Oh, you were a good basketball player. I saw you play in the North Hills against the team, the Steelers basketball team.
I was a trash guy. I got rebounds, put them back up. That was me.
Who dunked in the games? Randall L. Kiesel? Kiesel's a phenomenal
Randall L.
athlete.
Didn't dunk. Kiesel was a great basketball player, and he still is, I'm sure. But Randall L. was very, very good. I never saw him dunk in a game.
He played for Bobby Knight, Ron.
He did. You know
Randall L. did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
yes.
I didn't know that. I know.
Tremendous
Indiana,
athlete. Tremendous basketball
and
player.
And Ben was a 6'5 point guard in high school.
It's funny, these guys, you know, I remember seeing in
well,
the
Ben
summer.
Could have done anything.
Could have done anything.
Could have done anything.
I remember seeing in the summer Kenny Pickett won the home run derby.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what Ben would always win. And these quarterbacks, man, they're just athletes.
Like Sidney Crosby stepped to the plate and hit a left-handed homer at PNC Park.
And I remember playing basketball with Ben, and he played ping pong. He played whatever he did, he was good at it. These guys are just athletes, and they got just a gnat for doing these things. He go out there, and he was a point guard, and he was so good with his handles.
Ben, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Those guys are really good.
Tell me he couldn't have played Division I basketball as a 6'5 point guard.
Probably could have.
Ron, where would you like to steer the conversation here?
Well, let's get Hokie's take on what's the matter with the offense. There's a lot of blame to go around. Matt Canada's taking a lot of blame. The quarterbacks. Now the offensive line, I think, is protected better than I thought they were going to. And then we had Todd Haley on yesterday, used the word sloppy to describe the wide receivers. Where do you put the blame?
I think there's blame that could be pointed at everybody. I don't think it's just one person. In one play, it's one position. Another play, it's another position. You run the football, and the very first play of the game, it's been well-publicized. Talking about Najee, instead of hitting it down the middle and putting his head down, he bounces out and you know, gets, what, no gain or a loss. And he could have gotten 3 or 4 or 5 yards on the first carry of the game at minimum. He bears some blame there. Then you have the offensive line who gets beat at the point of attack at times. I saw guys, James Daniel. I saw a guy, Dotson. I've seen other guys get beat at the point of attack, just flat out, just stood up and thrown aside and plays being made. Then you have, you know, in protection, they're doing a pretty good job. You know, they gave up, I think, one sack that was their fault last week. I think two of the sacks were Trubisky's fault. He could have thrown it away or do what he does, dink it down, get rid of it, but he held on the ball too long. One time he thought he could outrun the defender and just slowed down. That was kind of an odd play. And then you go on to the receivers. They are open a lot, but they are sloppy. I can see what Todd was saying. I saw a couple times where they ran into each other in routes. They were in each other's space rather than having space and separation on routes. So they all can improve. They all can get better. And I just think that right now they're not where they need to be.
I brought chicken salad today, Ron, and I'm willing to share with you and Chris during the break.
Sounds delicious. I had a really good chicken salad last week.
What kind?
And with a croissant. Mm. It was really good.
Very nice. Can you put on your headphones, Chris?
Yeah.
I've got something to play for you.
A little chicken salad?
No.
You got to plug it in. Game.
Oh, I got to plug it in.
Run game issues.
See,
Ron can instruct you. Ron, go over there and help him, for God's sakes. He's confused.
Give me a chance.
Please, do it now, Ron. Ron's a little sensitive today, I'm sensing, Folsey,
well,
isn't he?
He asked me about the leather helmets, if I played with them or not.
He's still reeling from that comment.
He's reeling.
He is.
It wasn't even insulting. I asked him if he played with a one-bar helmet. I could picture.
Chris knew right away what you were doing.
That's following up on last week when you told him that he wouldn't even pay the bill. That's week-to-week shots.
Yeah, every week it's a shot at Ron.
What are we listening to?
A receiver in the 70s in high school. With a one-bar helmet. Lance Allworth. Go look up Lance Allworth. One-bar helmet. I'm of the same age as Ron, basically, and guys sometimes played with one-bar helmets. Merrill Hodge might have, and he was on the Football and Podcast with Ben this week. So I want to pin you down on this run game, Chris. Okay. I want you to listen to what Merrill Hodge says about Matt Canada's offense, and I want to hear if you agree on these two points, really, that it's not an NFL offense. And the other part is that he actually draws defenders into the box with some of his gimmicky ways.
So there's two different clips here. Do you want to hear the running game one first?
Yes.
This probably is the only running game that I've ever been a little confused. I don't think that when you look at just how he designs the run, I don't know that he threatens the box. Actually, I think he adds more people to the box and he puts more people in bad spots.
Okay.
In the running game, I mean, on like some of his motions, they bring people in and they don't affect any of them. Like the jet stuff isn't affecting anybody. You're pulling somebody else into the box. You're not affecting anybody on the back end. So now you got more people in there than you even wanted. Mm. I mean, there's just schematically, there's some stuff that doesn't make sense with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not a big guy on these gimmick plays. I don't, you know, I saw a couple times they ran that, option shovel pass, and I think it does bring people into the box, and I don't think it really opens up your offense and gives you an ability to push the ball down the field. And
his point is that they're not gimmick plays in Canada's offense; they're a staple of his
staple
base
of his
offense.
But it's everybody, they're gimmick plays. I think that's part of who he is. But people always talked about Canada's offense. We want to see Canada's offense. This is it. This is it right here. The creativity. That's what he does.
Oh my.
What's that? My is right. That, if this,
this
is his offense.
Offense. I said, oh,
yeah,
my.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the reality is we've seen this now for 17 games last year, 18 games, the playoffs, and now two games this year, and it's the same.
Do you agree with the simple contention that some of these – he just talked specifically about the jet sweep, that it doesn't affect anybody in the back end on the other team and, in fact, draws more people in the box than you would have wanted?
I think it brings people up. I don't know. I got to go up and look at that. I mean, that's his opinion. I don't know if that's true, but I'll tell you this right now. The jet sweep overused is ineffective. Now, they hit it good last week with Olszewski. That was a great timing play.
Game.
But when you run it five or six times with Chase Claypool in week one, okay, after the first, second time, it loses its excitement and it loses its effectiveness. The reality to get that ball is because everybody's stacked in the middle and you want to get the ball on the edge quickly, right? That's the whole purpose of that. And what it is, it's conceding that we can't – if you run it five or six times, we can't run the football. And so we got to try to get the ball on the edge and try to trick you and beat you with speed. And so is it bringing guys up? It could be bringing guys up. I haven't looked at it that closely. And Merrill knows film. He watches film. He understands that. But the reality is why – the reason why he runs those plays is because they can't run a traditional offense and be effective.
Well, that's the other clip, right? That this one I thought was even damning what Merrill had to say about the offense. You want to hit it there, Folsey?
But if you took away their gadgets and misdirection – half their offense is gone. And, you know, gadgets and misdirection are not – those are usually wrinkles.
Sure.
They're not the foundation of an offense. You know, and when you see route wrinkles. Combinations and you don't see that, you don't see, like, pro stuff. Like, I'll tell you this, Pitt's offense had more pro concepts. No, because when I was watching Pickett come out, I was like, the one thing to evaluate him, I was like, okay, can he throw concepts, pro concepts? Well, yeah, because he's doing it in college. I don't have to guess. I don't have to guess that he can do that. I watched him do it.
Pitt has more pro concepts than the Steelers.
Well, that was Whip. I mean, Whip was the offensive coordinator for Pickett last year.
Mark Whipple.
Mark Whip. Yeah,
Whipple. Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was an NFL offensive coordinator.
He was Ben's quarterback's coach.
So he knows how to call offense. And he's been, over the years, whether you like him or not, he has been pretty productive as an offensive play caller.
Who?
Yeah.
Whipple. But the point he's calling that he's calling this offense an amateur offense.
It's basically it's what not, he said. Listen, I think anybody can say that. I think anybody with an amateur eye can see that it's not an offense that threatens a defense. They haven't threatened a defense. It's just go out there. It's kind of like what they're saying about Matt Patricia right now. But this Matt Canada has been off the corner his whole life. They're talking about that there's no creativity. There's nothing really that challenges you out of the Patriots offense. They came out and they just played – you know, efficient football. I mean, it's one thing if you're out here, you know, putting together an offense and you're able to put points on the board. But when you can't put points on the board and you keep throwing the ball, I mean, you look at his spreadsheet in terms of where he's throwing the football, Starkey, the ball is going to the left 70% of the time and about 10 yards or less. The ball is going to the right outside hash maybe 20% of the time. And over the middle, they had three passes in this game over 10-plus yards. 10-plus yards, three. One was an interception, one was a catch, and one should have been picked. It went off the face mask of Freiermuth. I mean, there's no creativity in terms of route concepts, really getting the ball, getting the receivers crossing the field, throwing those deep cuts, in cuts that you saw the Patriots. I remember one game last week with Mac Jones. They threw an in cut, I think it was to Aguilar. He caught it. They called it back for holding, I believe. They went right back to the same play. He caught it again in the same spot. It was a deep in cut. And we're not seeing any of that, any kind of concepts to open up a defense and create some space for some throws inside zones.
So how much blame do you put on Trubisky?
I think there's a lot of blame on Trubisky. I think that he goes to his first option, and if he looks downfield and he doesn't see anybody wide open, he's taking the safe throw and he's throwing it down. He's checking out. I think the key word here for me on this offense, there is no trust. Trust in the run game, trust in the pass game, and I take that all the way back to they have not played a lot together. Trust is developed. It's not given. It's earned. And trust is an offense. You got to practice in the preseason. You got to go out there and you got to play in the preseason games. You got to play and practice. And when you have Najee didn't play a lot in the preseason, very little at all. Trubisky played a couple series. How do you gain trust? How does Najee hit that hole and know that hole is going to develop? He doesn't have a lot of experience. How does Trubisky know that my guys are going to pop up? And how can I know that if I throw the ball down deep, I can trust that Chase Claypool is going to go up and catch the ball?
I hear that.
There's trust.
But it seems like the more fundamental question here.
Is this offense limited?
Yes. And if they trusted each other implicitly, would it work?
I think there's a lot more to it, but the short answer is yes.
Do they handcuff Trubisky?
It can work, you said.
No, I think this offense is limited. I don't think that there's a lot of opportunity to go down the field. I think there's a lot to this, and I think there's a lot of things that we don't know. A lot of things that we don't know. But the reality is that there's not enough there for them to move the ball down the field consistently and put up a lot of points.
Well, it just seems to me that Trubisky's handcuffed to a degree, too. Are they preaching to him, don't turn the ball over?
You would think that, right? With some of the comments that have come out of the South Side, you know, him talking about him with the audibles and not being able to audible, right? It's limited.
It's ridiculous.
And we're still working on where he's gonna, you know, where his options are. He doesn't have free reign in the offense. He doesn't have the ability to come up and look over the defense and say, I want to go here. He is being told, okay, first, you know, which there are first, second, third options. But he doesn't have free reign to go up there and check it and say, "Hey, they're heavy to the left. I'm gonna switch it to the right, or I'm gonna come in and I'm seeing man, so I'm gonna go to a man beater." I don't think he has the option to make those.
No,
plays.
He said he doesn't. He pointed out the second last possession of the game, 3rd and 8, and he threw it 2 yards to Najee, and he said just the other day, "I saw zero coverage there. Wanted to go deep, but I went with the play call."
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys. There are guys that are running open down the field, and there are guys that are breaking free on these plays. And he's got this internal clock, and I think he's really risk adverse. I think he's worried about making a mistake that would put their team in a bad situation. And he recognizes that he's a bridge quarterback. At some point, he's going to hand
the
ball off.
When does
so
the
he
doesn't
want it to be sooner rather than later.
Okay, let's talk about that. Because in a game, how many possessions did they have in the game? He mangled 3 of them. The first one with an inaccurate throw on 3rd down, the horrible interception, and the last pass of the game. To Najee, who was nice matchup on a linebacker, and he underthrows
it. But we saw Ben do that last year.
Okay, but how long for Trubisky?
Tomlin said on Monday he seemed like he was going to be pretty patient, but he's got to say that, right? Tomlin never sends messages. Well, very rarely. I'll take that back. Does he send a message through the media? And I think that Tomlin talks like he's going to be patient, but if this offense cannot move the ball this tonight against the Cleveland Browns, and it's still the same as the first 2 weeks, I think he's got to seriously consider making a change this week because they have a long weekend and they have a full week.
How about a coordinator change?
I don't think he would do that.
That's not their way.
No, I don't think he would. I don't know much about the quarterback's coach who's been offensive coordinator in the league. I don't know about how successful
he was. He was with the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how successful he was. I don't know how much confidence Tomlin has in him. I see these are a lot of variables that I don't know if anybody knows really. But I don't think he'll make a change. I think he could go to Canada and say, "I want this. Call this." I think I think that would happen. I think he is. I think he did this week. I think this week he challenged some people. Said we're not going down the field enough. We're not throwing it up enough. We got to do a little more. We got to be a little more aggressive offensively.
All right. I think everybody agrees with that. That if this goes way south with Trubisky tonight, that there's a 10-day break and that the Steelers could go to another quarterback. I think most people would say that would be Kenny Pickett. You were on with Bob after the game. You think Tomlin might be inclined to go with Rudolph?
I said, in my personal opinion, I don't have any inside information on this.
You were just saying.
My opinion is this, that I think that if the Steelers, in order to get the running game going, they've got to get teams at a single high. They get single high. They have one safety deep in the middle of the field. You have 2 corners on the outside covering. And whether it's man or zone, and then you bring your safety up, which stops the run. It's very difficult to run the ball when you have 8 guys in the box with that 8th defender being the safety. You try to get them in a 2-shell, try to get them back out. They have to defend the pass. The only way you can do that is to push the ball down the field. That's what Mason does. Mason pushes the ball down the field. And so it's all dependent upon this. Does Coach Tomlin, does he seriously want to hold Kenny Pickett out this year and let him learn? If that's what he seriously wants to do, then the option is to go to Mason, and Mason will be able to open. I really believe that Mason's going to be able to loosen up a defense, and we'll be able to run the ball more effective because he'll be able to he throws a good deep ball. I mean, can we all agree with that?
And he has nothing to lose.
And
either,
listen,
Joe,
like Trubisky.
If he goes in, it looks like Trubisky's afraid of his career here. What does Mason have to lose by throwing
nothing
it down the field?
But
say it's intercepted. What's he going to do, get booed?
Cookie, but listen to this too. Here's the thing: is we talk about he doesn't have the what it takes to run in the Canada's offense. He can't run around. Where have we seen Trubisky run a lot? Have you seen Trubisky run a lot? I haven't seen him really scramble.
No, they're not using that part. They
what I'm saying. Everybody was saying, Trubisky and Kenny fits better in Canada's offense. Well, what is Canada's offense, number one? And number two, I haven't seen any of that from Trubisky, so why not put Mason in there, let him sit in the pocket? He's going to stretch the field. He's going to connect on those deep throws. He's going to loosen up a defense. Now, the question is, if he does it and they want to go right to Kenny, it's time.
But it all
depends on how badly they want to sit Kenny to let him learn.
Right.
Or they want to put him in there and let him grow.
Well, I'll ask you next what you think.
I think the growth is exponentially quicker and faster if he plays because you're learning
That's
what Rod Woodson said.
Let's get to that next. We're going to play you a Rod Woodson quote and talk about the quarterbacks. I mean, really, we could talk about 8 billion different things, but who's going to be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers seems to be question number one almost before anything else can fall
I think number
place.
One right now in my mind is you got to win. Whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it takes to win.
Well, maybe the Browns will help them out. They helped out Joe Flacco last week.
Oh, unbelievable, huh?
Let's talk about that coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.